And if we could have John 3 open, that would be great. John chapter 3, 1066 in the church Bibles. Let me pray briefly before we come to the preaching of God's word. We're going to need to know all of that wideness we've just been singing about as we come to verse 18 and onwards. Father, thank you for your words. Thank you for all of it. We need the bits we think are great and we love, and we need the bits that we would naturally not find easy. We need your whole counsel, and we need to love your whole counsel. So we pray that we would right now, as we come under your word together, we pray that we would listen, and not just with our ears, but with our hearts and minds as well, that we would love what we hear. And Lord, by your grace and through your spirit, you would apply it to our lives. Make us people who are watchful, prayerful, running towards the light, running from the dark. And for any here this morning, Lord, who do not know the light of the life of Christ in them, we pray, even through this time together this morning, you would bring them to know the light for themselves. In your precious name we ask these things. Amen. So if you've been here a few weeks, we're still in John 3. It is a wonderful chapter. This is the passage you can see over the page of your church Bible, which starts with Jesus saying to Nicodemus, this Pharisee, you must be born again. This has got to happen in you. How? Verse 8. Well, you need to be born of the Spirit. It's the work of God, like a wind blowing and working in people's lives. Well, how is the Spirit going to do that? Verse 14, in the same way Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, the Son of Man will be lifted up. Christ is going to the cross, and all who look to him, look at the cross and believe on him, may have eternal life. From verse 16, the glorious, famous verse 16. There's some debate about who's speaking at this point. It could be John coming in as the narrator. It could be Jesus, which I think is the more popular view. It doesn't really matter. It's all the word of God. I'll take it as it's Jesus from verse 16 explaining the lifting up by saying, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Whoever. Whoever. That is a great word, isn't it? It is wide. It is wonderful. It is welcoming. As we thought last week, it doesn't mean everyone. It means anyone. Anyone who believes in Jesus, rich, poor, male, female, educated, uneducated, moral people, immoral people, whatever race, nationality, gender, whoever believes in Jesus is saved. But there is a second whoever. There are two whoevers. Can you see them beginning of verse 18? Whoever believes in him, Jesus, is not condemned. Yes, because that's punch in the air, doesn't it? Second, whoever follows after. Whoever does not believe stands condemned. Oh. So believe, Jesus, be saved. The flip side, not believe, not saved, condemned. And we might love verse 16, the truth of it. But there is a verse 18, whoever as well, isn't there? There are two whoevers. There are two types of people. There are two truths. Eternal life for believers, and a second, more uncomfortable truth, judgment for unbelievers. So while verse 16, of course, is one of the most loved verses in the Bible, John 3 verse 18 is perhaps one of the least. Not one you'd kind of want to see held up in a stadium, John 3 verse 18, you're condemned. Because the verse 16 one, Jesus, you know, loving everyone, it's wide love. It's the one the world wants, isn't it? Jesus with wide arms, all hugs, lots of love and license and low standards. Verse 18, on the other hand, might be one we wish wasn't in our Bibles. Because here we have the Jesus who divides so starkly. Jesus who's offensive. Who just makes people uncomfortable. The Jesus who many don't want to believe in, and certainly don't want kind of these things to be true. You may have heard it's been said, God created us in his own image, that's true. And ever since, we've been returning the favor, trying to create him in our image. See, the image we want of Jesus, and many people want, is the 3:16 one. This loving God, all love, love. But do we want John 3, verse 18, that Jesus as well? But here it is, the second whoever. If you don't like these verses, you don't like this sermon, don't take it up with me afterwards. Okay? It's not me saying this. It's not made up. It's not kind of church tradition. It's here in the Bible. God so loved the world, he sent his son. Not to retaliate, verse 17, but to redeem. But whoever does not believe in the sent son stands condemned. Rich, poor, male, female, educated, uneducated, moral, immoral, whatever race, nationality, gender, no matter your parents, no matter the family you've been brought up in perhaps, no matter how many times you've prayed or paid your taxes or gone to church, whoever doesn't believe in Jesus is condemned. And from verse 18, we're taken, if you like, into the courtroom. The language becomes very lawyery, doesn't it? Condemned, stands condemned. See verse 19, this is the verdict. This is God's divine court, isn't it? Verse 20, deeds exposed. Well, everything comes out in a court, doesn't it? That's why people don't want to go to court. Because all the witnesses, everything's going to be seen and said. Verse 21, truth comes to light. The scene here is a trial, really. And it's been pointed out that John's gospel is the tale of two trials. So, of course, the second trial is at the end of the gospel. It's the trial of Jesus Christ, the innocent son, falsely accused, declared guilty by man and put on a cross. The first trial is at the front of John's gospel. It's here, it's this trial. The world standing condemned before God. And we know the world's not right, don't we? Everyone knows that. We see it, we feel it, experience it in our own lives and so on. Which is the true trial? Which is the one that stands? People, of course, put God on trial. They love to put God on trial. You know, it must be God. Now look what he's doing in the world. Or look what he's not doing if he exists, people say. And of course, we're much less inclined to put ourselves on trial, aren't we? I think you have heard the famous question posed by the Times newspaper some years ago. The question put out was, what's wrong with the world? Send in your answers. And of course, lots of answers came in, long intellectual answers about the problems with the world. But one answer stood out, and it was G.K. Chesterton's answer. What's wrong with the world? Very short, very simple. I am. Why is the world condemned? Why is it that whoever doesn't believe is condemned? Well, these verses, 18 to 21, show at least three reasons. Firstly, we'll be in verse 18, and the answer is because the unbelieving world already stands condemned. The second answer is in verse 18, and it's because they don't believe. Because we don't believe. And the third answer, verse 19 onwards, because why there's condemnation, because they love darkness and hate the light. So firstly, verse 18, Whoever does not believe stands condemned already. You could say, and it's just these few words here, another way, whoever's born a sinner is condemned, and that's everyone, because mankind's starting point is unbelief. We'd love to think we enter a world in neutral, but it's just not true. We are unbelievers from birth, David says in Psalm 51. Ephesians 2 says we're children of wrath. We're not good, Romans 3 says. No, not one is good. The Bible is clear in so many places. We are inheritors and participants in Adam's corrupt sin nature. We start out judged. It's pretty sad, isn't it? Pretty strong message, isn't it? If you think, if you like, the actual judgment day to come is the formal bit. And the truth is now, every person from birth is judged and stands condemned. Every false religious person, every moral person, every person who is not in Christ Jesus. Whoever does not believe is already judged. Of course, this is just massively upsetting because we just love a few shades of grey, don't we? We want to put those, hang on, if and those buts in as well. But Jesus is just black and white. He just draws this line. Those who believe in Christ and those who do not believe in Christ. You've got the saints and the ain'ts, as someone said. However, kind of, we might like to divide humanity. And I wonder how you do it in your mind, mostly, and others do as well. You know, maybe a class, maybe wealth, race, appearance, you know, whatever. God, here we have it again. Jesus, there's only two. There's only two. It's those who believe in the Son and those who do not. So some, of course, cry, well, what about good people? Surely those who don't judge others, the big thing today, isn't it, not judging each other. Surely they're not going to be judged and condemned. Well, yes, they will. Because the Bible says, who's good? Who alone other than God is good? And perhaps a better question is, why do good things happen to anyone when everyone enters this world in rebellion to God? Of course, the classic cry continues as well. Well, what about the innocent tribesman who's never heard of Jesus? How can they be condemned for not believing in someone they haven't heard of? And the answer is simple. They're not condemned. The innocent tribesman is not condemned because they don't exist. Romans 1 tells us no one is righteous. No, not one. Before God, there is no righteous. There's no innocent people. Because, again, Romans 1, everyone can see the truth of God, but they suppress the truth. And this is unbelief. This is the second reason people are condemned. Firstly, everyone stands condemned already. Secondly, they're condemned because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Whoever's born a sinner, and then whoever's an active sinner, by refusing God's good gift of Jesus, is condemned. And unbelief is many things. It's primarily, it's failing to recognize Christ, the greatness of Christ, who he is, what he's done. It's, of course, just to shut him out, isn't it? Refuse him, to not believe in him. And to believe is the only way to be saved. And hearing is key. How we hear is everything, really, isn't it? Active hearing, or kind of hearing we sometimes do with other people, at home or whatever, kind of avoidance hearing, maybe. It is a great thing to hear the good news of the gospel. And if you've heard about Jesus, well, you're here now, we're here together now, but if you've had many opportunities to hear about Jesus, that is a wonderful thing. If you've lived kind of shadow of a church, many sermons, you might think, oh, another sermon. But it is a good thing to hear about Jesus. It really, really is. It is a great thing to hear about Jesus, but it's also a dangerous thing because we're judged by how we hear. What we do with what we hear matters, doesn't it? So maybe some of you know in the passage in Matthew 11, the cities of woe that Jesus talks about, there's a really strong warning. So Jesus says in Matthew 11, "Woe to you, Chorazin." Imagine him pointing. Sorry, that's, someone lives over there. Sorry, don't take that personally. "Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. And you, Capernaum. Woe." You know, don't want Jesus saying woe to you. It's just the worst, isn't it? He says, "You will go down to Hades because the miracles performed in you, had they been performed in you, had they been performed in Sodom, sorry, it would still be here." Sodom, that is. "But they are better off than you, Capernaum, in the day of judgment." Just imagine the disciples listening. Wow. And the point, of course, Jesus makes is, you who saw the miracles, you who heard the truth, repent and believe, the kingdom is at hand. But you refuse to believe in him, you're condemned. See, if we hear, but we don't hear, it doesn't travel that, whatever, 6-7 inches down to the heart, then we're condemned. Hearing must become believing. You may have heard about Jesus from childhood. You might have multiple Bibles at home in many versions. You might have had a Christian education. You might have had Bible time with mum and dad growing up. You lived in a Christian culture all your life. But if you don't believe, if we don't believe in Jesus, we stand condemned. It is that clear. It is that strong. Believing is not so much understanding. Yes, of course, we need to hear the good news, understand it clearly, so we as well can pass it on, so others can hear. But believing is more than understanding in the mind, isn't it? The demons know. They don't believe. They tremble. Believing is more than knowing who Jesus is and what he's done. It's what happens in here, isn't it? It's what we love. It's what we hate. So let's go to the third reason for condemnation. One, whoever is born a sinner. We've got the whoever's here. Two, whoever refuses to believe in Christ. And three, from 19, whoever loves evil and hates the light is also condemned. Verse 19, here's the verdict. People love the dark and hate the light. Light has come. We get this in John 8 and John 9. Jesus says, "I'm the light of the world." But light and Jesus, of course, it's the picture, has a double effect, doesn't it? Drawing some people, but at the same time repelling others at the same time. So 3:15, Jesus being lifted up, of course, draws all men, all kinds of people, whoever's, to himself as he's seen shining in his glorious death. He draws those with eyes to see. But light shining, Christ, presence of Christ, is also unwanted, pushes people away. Now, we would love to hear many people in this area, you know, say, "Yes, the light. We love the light. Shine on me. Shine through me." We'd love to say this for ourselves as well. "See all of me. Just let everything be transparent before you. Fill me." But instead, the reality as humans is we love the dark. Jesus says it because our deeds are evil and we do not want our deeds exposed. When you sleep at night, I wonder if you're a person who likes it really dark, or if you're okay with a bit of a light on. But if you like it really dark, and I like it really dark, you know what a little bit of light does. Someone gets up and goes to the bathroom, click or ping, pulley light in the bathroom usually, and it's, all the ultimate. You know, you've got the wide awake child, you know, unaffected by the change of clocks, bursting in early, light on, jumping on. Oh, it's too much, isn't it? the light of God, the light of the truth. It's piercing in its purity, and it disturbs people. And it disturbs us at times as well, even Christians at times. Because darkness being our natural habitat means we like to hide in it. We like to keep secrets. We like to carry on with our ways. So light flooding in comes as this unwelcome imposter, exposing, revealing things about us, our deeds, our evil deeds. Meaning, it's going to be seen. We're going to have to confess. We're going to feel ashamed. We're going to have to change. By nature, we rather stay in the dark. It's true. Perhaps we wonder about church. Perhaps we wonder sometimes, why aren't we outgrowing our building? Why aren't loads of people just like coming in to hear the good news? Where are all the teenagers? Where are all the young adults? That sort of thing. And we think, well, is it because we have good enough music, or we don't have a smoke machine? Or is it because we feel a bit dated to the world? Or maybe we need a celebrity pastor. Don't know to say anything, please don't say anything. Or is Jesus right? People hate the light. I'm going with Jesus. I think we should go with Jesus. Verse 20. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Yes, as a church, we need to be friendly. We need to be welcoming. We need to be accessible. But it's not about music. It's not about smoke machines even. What needs to happen is God. God needs to happen by his Spirit. Whoever stands condemned, whoever does not believe, whoever hates the light needs, back to John 3, the wind blowing, the work of God in them, because conversion is only through God grabbing hold of someone by the heart, drawing them, changing what they love and what they hate. This is the only way people will come to the light and believe. It's not through cool ideas we might have. No, people need to be born again. They need to be made new. We need our loves changed so that we love the things we once hated and we now hate what we once loved. It's a reversal, isn't it? The reason for unbelief in this world is the loves of our hearts. People reject the gospel primarily because they want to live how they want to live, because we have an inner leaning towards the dark. Why are so few young adults coming to Christ? Because they want to do stuff. They want to have fun. And they think God needs reshaping, not me. That sort of thinking, isn't it? So I might think it's a pretty gloomy sermon today, especially if you're first one. But it's important. We tackle every passage. And you might want to say, well, this is more important perhaps. But there's a word of hope. Verse 21 is a picture of a believer. Whoever lives by the truth, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. As a picture of a believer. Whoever lives by the truth. This is the believer who loves the light. This is the person whose will has been affected and changed and now active towards God. And they desire, they struggle, don't we Christians, to draw nearer and nearer to Jesus. To increasingly live our lives in the light. To want our deeds to be seen. Because the Christian knows the power of the dark, the danger in our own hearts of liking hiding in the dark. A very real danger. And this 21 is a believer who wants that hiding to stop. No, I'm not going to hide anymore. I'm not going to hide anything from you, Lord, And ideally, I'm going to have a brother or sister to help me as well. Because the best place to live, in fact, the only place to live, is to live in the light of Christ. Every believer, of course, is a work in progress. And some of us are going strong, some are going slow. Some of us are perhaps feeling like we're going backwards, we're damaged and struggling. Be encouraged. If you're a believer, if you believe, if you're whoever believes in Christ, if you're in that category and you long for the light, praise the Lord that that's you. Like, you should just rejoice, because that is not natural. That is supernatural. And pray as well, and we'll pray for each other in a moment, that we would keep heading towards the light. God is at work in a believer. His Spirit is in them to work and produce good deeds, Christ-like character, holiness. There are two whoever's in this passage. Which are you? Which am I? Whoever believes in Jesus, not condemned. Second, whoever does not believe, stands condemned. Which whoever are you? That they couldn't be more different, could they? And we must, as Jesus says to Nicodemus, be born again. We must step into the light. So, question as we come to pray before we sing, are any of us here, just in your mind, running from the light? Do we perhaps do church stuff? That's why we're here. Mix with Christians, quite like Christians. But actually, Jesus, we just keep at a distance. We never said, Jesus, I want to believe in you. Help me to believe in you. Help me to live and follow you. Take my darkness and forgive it and save me. Have you ever done that? Or are you still actually running from the light? It's a problem of the heart. And we stand condemned if we do not believe. We need God to change us. We would hate the dark and we love the sun who sets us free. So we'll pray in a moment. Let me just put up a Bible verse to learn. Some of us are, well, trying to and doing so, learning a verse per week from the passage. That'd be great if you did that. Because then through the week, as you look at it, you can have a sermon, here's a verse, and just build up your Bible knowledge. Spirit works through the word, so we want that to be happening in us. So I've recommended verse 18. It's the kind of front verse for this little section. So why not learn verse 18 this week? Put it on your fridge, by your bedside, or shut up. But you know what I mean. Why not? Get the Bible into you and me as well. Let's pray. Father, we pray that we would be believers and that your people here would believe more in Christ. Strengthen and further remove our unbelief. That we would be believers in Christ and know the wonderful hope that brings for eternal life and the joy of living in the light. So we pray, Lord, that you would make us people who are seeking Christ. We pray that we would look to others as well who do not know Christ. And Lord, with grace and wisdom and love, we would share the good news with them who at the moment stand condemned. So Lord, thank you for our time. Thank you for each other. Lord, bless our conversations. May we be building one another up in love, encouraging each other in Christ Jesus, we pray, for your glory. Amen.